Amen. Have your Bibles. John chapter 11. As you're very well aware, if you've read the Bible very much, this is the raising of Lazarus. You'll notice the story, and I want you to see a few things about the story that I think would help all of us. You'll notice Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is very ill, and you'll notice in verse number 1, this is John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and Martha, and her sister Martha. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And so today, I want you to take a look at the first thing is the distress that they're all under. All of us have distresses. All of us have sicknesses, distress. We might have a distress that comes from dealing with the IRS about taxes, or we're at work, something about work. There's a lot of distresses going on with the vaccine, with masks. There's a lot of distresses going on with jobs and all kinds of things. And there's a lot of distresses about what about the future of our country as we print money. It can't go on forever. If you just pictured in your mind, how many of you have a limited income? Well, that ought to be pretty well everybody, okay? Unless your name is Gates, or unless your nickname is Jeff Bezos or somebody, you've got a limited income. In other words, you have a certain amount that comes in, certain amount that you can spend. You know what happens if you spend over that and keep spending over that? Sooner or later, you're going to run out of money. And what they're going to do is they're going to come and get your car, or come and repossess your house. Or if it were in Bible days, they would come get your children. And they would become slaves of the person you owed the money to until the debt was paid. Now, those are distresses, okay? We can't print more money, but our country is. And sooner or later, it's going to come to an end. Don't know when. Don't know how. But it's a distress. We look at it. How many of you have gone online and seen that number of national debt, and as it goes like this, it goes so fast you almost can't imagine it. Millions of dollars a minute. You're just running through money. And so you look at it and say, well, there's all kinds of distresses. There's financial distress. There's physical distresses. There's emotional distresses. Well, you'll notice here all the distresses that are listed here. Martha and Mary are so distressed because their brother is very ill. And notice, if you would, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, this is not unto death. It's for the glory of God. But it was to death, but not to him, because he knew what he was going to do. And so I want you to notice, all of us will have distresses and struggles and troubles. And how do we handle those things? Our reactions to the stress that we're under and to the distresses that we face make the difference whether we have a testimony or not, to whether people around us are willing to listen to us about Jesus Christ and how I love him. It will make all the difference in the world to your children if they want to follow us in worshiping our great God or not. Notice, if you would, in this passage, I want you to just get a little bit of the thing that are going on. Number one, they sent someone to Martha and Mary sent someone to Jesus. They heard where he was. Now, he's about 40 miles away, 2 days journey. He's about 40 miles away, 2 days journey, walking and riding a donkey a little bit. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, did you notice what they did not say? Nowhere in this passage does it say, would you heal our brother? They just assumed that, Lord, if you know that he's sick, you'll take care of it. And so we can learn something from this, that in our distresses, we have to learn to talk to the Lord about them. Well, notice what they did. They sent this person and said, oh, by the way, Jesus, Lazarus, you know, the guy that you love so much, he's very ill. Well, if you take a look, notice in verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So these three were very special to him. And I could take just a minute this morning and say, do you understand this? You are very special to him. You may not feel like it. I don't think Martha and Mary felt like it when their brother died and Jesus didn't come. They sent the messenger. I would imagine the messenger delivered the message and went back home. I gave it to Jesus. So keep in mind, he walks 2 days, gives it to Jesus Christ, the message, and then goes back. Okay? So it's 4 days, but he was alive when he left. Now notice what Jesus does. In verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Why wasn't there an urgency in Jesus' heart? Do you understand that God uses distress to work in our lives? Everyone in this room, he uses trouble and anguish in our lives to draw us closer to him, to build us in our faith in him. And in this passage, he's going to build the faith of Martha and Mary, and he's going to see people saved all around. But Martha and Mary are going to be distressed for a while. They're not going to understand some things. Anybody ever not understand why the Lord didn't do this or do that? He's got a plan that he's working. We're his servants. And so you'll notice here in this passage, look if you would, in verse number 7. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea. So the messenger comes. He walks 2 days. Lazarus is sick. And then he tells him, let's take just a minute. I heard Lazarus is sick, but we're going to wait here for 2 more days. And part of the reason why the disciples don't say, well, let's go hurry and help him. It's because the place where he was, the Jews tried to kill him. Notice, if you would, in verse 8, his disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither all again? So in other words, they were good with Jesus waiting 2 days. Apparently, he didn't tell them, we're going to wait 2 days and then go. He waited 2 days. Now, the disciples are comforted because they're not distressed, because they're not going to go where the people were going to stone them. Then all of a sudden, he says, let's go and see Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Now, all of a sudden, they're distressed. So notice, if you would, in verse number 8, the Jews of late sought to stone them. So all of them say, oh, man, we might get stoned if we go with Jesus. Well, look, if you would, in verse number 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. In verse 12, Jesus said unto his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. So the disciples, Jesus said, he's asleep. Well, in reality, he was soul asleep. He was asleep. Now, nobody here knows what happened to Lazarus for these 4 days. Anybody ever thought about, I wonder where Lazarus was for 4 days. I know about this. I sort of think, now this is a Pittmanism. It's not from Scripture. It's just what I think. But the Bible does say absent from the body is present with the Lord. So I would imagine that Lazarus, when he died, went to paradise. That's where Jesus, everyone was going when they died, before Jesus died and was resurrected. And so they go to paradise. It's in two parts, hell and paradise. And so all of a sudden, he's in paradise. Wow, this is wonderful. And his sisters are saying, we want you back. If I'm Lazarus, I'm saying, leave me alone. I mean, I love to have my wife back. I think my wife would say, Pittman, you just handle things yourself. I'm having a great time. I don't think she's worried about it. She said, hey, look, I got my legs back. I'm enjoying heaven. Leave me alone. I'm enjoying it. I'm thinking about you, but you take care of things yourself. Trust the Lord, Pittman. Did you know the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, we're compassed about, we're circled about with a great cloud of witnesses, all those that have died and gone before. So Susan is watching. She didn't want to come back. Can you imagine Lazarus? All of a sudden he hears, Lazarus, come forth. No! So the Lord uses all of us. I think the Lord had to erase his memory when he came back and was alive. Otherwise, he'd probably been bitter at his sisters forever if he wouldn't have gotten his mind erased. You call me back from heaven? What's wrong with you, girls? Notice, if you would, in verse number, keep in mind the whole story, the plot of the story. Keep in mind, Lazarus is dead. He's in heaven rejoicing. He's in paradise rejoicing. And notice, if you would, the sisters, they're distraught. They've lost their brother. Jesus, not worried a bit. He never is. That's why you and I need to stick close to him. And so he says, we're going to go to where Lazarus is. He's asleep. He's sleeping. Notice verse number 13. Howbeit Jesus spake, verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he's sleepy, shall do well. Lord, why don't we want to go wake him up? If he's asleep, if he's resting, they're short-sighted, not thinking. And then notice in verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. So their spiritual eyes are very short-sighted. They're not catching what's going on. And you know, folks, if we're not careful, we get short-sighted vision too. We're under distress and we just want to get out of pain. We don't realize God is using that to work on our boss, our reactions. We don't realize that God is working to strengthen our wife because of our reactions. We don't realize that God is working on our children, watching how we handle the distresses of life. And so God is working, using all these distresses. And you'll notice Jesus, calm. He knows what's going to happen. He always does. Well, then notice, if you would, in verse number 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And so I'm sure the guy said, oh. Now watch. Verse 15, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. So he delayed for 2 days to come. So Lazarus has died. He's been dead now for 2 days. We don't know if he died immediately whenever the message was delivered, but apparently he died the same day that the messenger came, because the Bible says a little later that he was 4 days in the grave. That means 2 days that he waited and 2 days of walking. And so it's been 4 days. And so I can imagine Martha and Mary, they're just grieving because he was sick for 2 days and then Jesus didn't come. And then it was 4 days and finally he does come. But now let's take just a minute and pause. Let's look at the disciples. I don't know if we look at the disciples very much, but now they're all distressed. Look why. Verse number 15, 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto the fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. You know what he's saying? We're going to go back, Jesus, we're going to go back to the Jews where they wanted to stone you. We're all going to die. So Thomas says, oh, now, wait a minute. Let's take just a minute. Thomas, what? Anybody have another name for Thomas? Doubting Thomas. He's always looking at the glass a third empty, or 9/10 empty. He is never looking at the positive side. So he hears them, we're going to go back to where the Jews tried to kill you. Oh, no, we're going to go die with him. So here's Thomas. He's all stressed. And did you hear what it said? He talked to all the other disciples. Hey, they're going to stone us too. They're going to kill Jesus. We're next in line. They're going to kill us too. We're going to go back to Lazarus to the grave. We're going to go to the funeral and all get killed. Well, we might as well go. Let's accept it and go. Do you understand that if we're not careful, we can have Thomas's attitude? When we're supposed to do something, we always look on the negative. We always look on the negative. It was nothing like that. Well, notice, if you would, in verse number 18. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So Bethany and Jerusalem are not very far apart. So a lot of the Jews, they were very well-liked people. So their friends came to them and were there. Now, then notice, if you would, in verse number 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming. So Jesus apparently sends a messenger, and now he's coming. Keep in mind, there's distress everywhere. Lazarus has died. Martha and Mary are distressed. Now you got the disciples are distressed because they're going to die because they're going to get stoned. They've all talked about it. Distress is everywhere. Ever been in a place like that? Where it just seems like trouble's all around you? That's a time to say, Lord, I need you. Distress, and then I want you to see the delay of Jesus. You'll notice he said when he heard that he was very ill, notice if you would, in verse number 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. And I would wonder, why did Jesus wait? Ever wondered why Jesus doesn't answer your prayer like that? If I were God, I'd take care of it like this. But the Lord is not us, and he's not me, and he's patient. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Remember, the disciples said whenever they came into a certain village and the people wouldn't receive Jesus, they said, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven and teach them a lesson? And Jesus says, you don't know what you're talking about. I love everybody. So you and I get frustrated and upset with people. And keep in mind, the Lord delayed for a reason. Now, one of the reasons is that so he would be dead 4 days and not two. So the body had already started decomposing, so no one could say he was really alive. He just came forth out of the grave. He was dead. So he waits 2 extra days to make sure everybody knows he's dead. And then Jesus shows up. And notice the conversation in verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, and that's the reason the Lord said, I didn't come. Because I knew what you would do. You would ask me to heal your brother. And then I couldn't do the miracle. So I delayed 2 days so that I wouldn't have to heal him. And so that he could die so that I could raise him from the dead after 4 days. Now, she doesn't know any of this, but the Lord knows it all. And a lot of times you and I, we're praying, Lord, would you do this? Lord, would you do that? And the Lord delays. And he delays. Why? He only wants the nose. But he's trying to teach us something. He's trying to grow us into a better Christian, to a more faithful servant, to a more trusting servant. Dave Pittman, will you trust me? Will you trust me? I thought we were going to build our new site 10 years ago. I like his financing plan a lot better than mine. Lord, we have to wait. Wait. Be patient. Wait. So he delays. Well, now Martha comes up, and now Jesus Christ is going to talk with her. And she says, Lord, if you had come when we asked you, he wouldn't have died because you could have healed him. It's almost like Martha thought, once someone dies, your power is gone. So I think one thing he was trying to do was make sure everybody knew that Lazarus was dead. Number two, I think he was trying to get everybody to understand that I can do anything. That death has no bearing to me. And he's trying to tell all of us in this room, If someone dies without me, then it's too late. But if you are breathing air and you'd like to go to heaven, it's not too late. I have power over death. Oh, your physical body may die, but I've got a home in heaven for you, waiting for you if you would trust me. And so he's waiting, and there are Jews that are saying, we don't believe this is Jesus. We don't believe this is the Messiah. So he delays 2 days, lets him die, and now it's been 4 days when he gets there. And so all of a sudden now the Lord has got all these plans that he's working on, and Martha comes up and says, Lord, he wouldn't have had to die. Now, all of the purposes of God would have been thwarted. People that were going to believe would never have trusted Christ as Savior. Look here, if you would, it was read in originally. Look in verse 44. He that was dead came forth bound foot and with grave clothes. Look at verse 45. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Those people would have never gotten saved had Jesus not delayed those 2 days. Do you understand that God knows the steps that we're to take perfectly? But it does require trust. Sometimes even a blind trust. But he loves you. He makes no mistakes. You and I must learn to trust him. Martha and Mary, look what Mary said. Martha says, and Jesus said unto her, our brother shall rise again. And she said, yeah, I know. Now what he was telling her, your brother's going to rise again. He didn't flat out say, I'm going to raise him from the dead. He said, your brother will rise from the again. And she said, yeah, I know, Lord. Verse 24, Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know, blah, 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 one of these days, the last day, he's going to rise again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Look, even though you have no chance for heaven, if you'll trust me, I'll save you. And so he tells Martha this. And Martha just goes like this. So then you'll notice in verse number 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And so she says the right things, but she doesn't believe anything about he can help now. I want you to watch. Verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him the same thing her sister said, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. It's an exact quote. And they must have talked about it. Why didn't Jesus come? Why did Jesus allow this? Anybody ever had a thought, why did Jesus allow something in your life? Why did Jesus allow this? Why did he allow that? He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. And what is our role in this? Lord, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. I know you. You make no mistakes. I want you to see in the next thing that happens. Look, if you would, in verse number. Now keep in mind, this delay causes everybody to understand, number one, that a lot of people got saved as a result of it. But number two, I want you to notice this. Verse number 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. You don't see that very often. Jesus is weeping. Now, I think he's weeping because of Martha and Mary's grief. Maybe he's weeping because he knows unless he erases Lazarus' mind, he's going to be upset with him. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus walks out of the grave bound hand and foot like this. It's been 4 days. Everybody goes, oh, he must be God. Now, I want you to see the distress all of us face. I want you to see the delay is always for a purpose. But I want you to see the deliverance. The Lord answers our prayer in his time. The Lord works in our life in his way. What then is our response? I want to take just a minute. We can respond by saying, well, it's about time. We can have the wrong attitude. Lord, if you would have come like Martha and Mary both said, now keep in mind he loved them. They would have never seen how much he loved them had he not delayed. I wished all of us could see how much the Lord loves us. This week, preparation for this sermon night, I don't know how I got off on it, but I got off on the crucifixion. And I went back and studied crucifixion, the Roman crucifixion. I'll be honest with you, I almost got sick in my stomach. I saw the depravity of man. I knew that the Jews were 39 stripes. So they would take a stick about yay long and put three tongs in it, and you'd get 13 stripes. Well, you actually got 39. The Romans, they had no compassion. As I began to read about what Jesus went through, I had to come into this room. I had to say, Lord, I'm so sorry for what I did to you. My sin. I can't describe to you the graphic nature of the scourging alone that Jesus went through. How they purposely tore people apart with the whip to make them hurt, to make the Son of God hurt. I just came in here and I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm not even going to go into it. I can tell you this. They would take a long leather, wind leather into it at the end of it. It would have 8 or 10 different links of leather. And they put everything from fish hooks to glass to rocks to try to make it more painful. Most people died from it. I can't tell you what Jesus went through. But I can tell you this. He's the great God, and I'll tell you why. I know of people that have suffered greatly for a family member. I've heard of tremendous anguish that one family member has suffered for another. I read a little story about a farmer that his grandson was with him. And they had an open, somehow they had been cleaning out the pit where all of the, you know, the, can't think of the name of it now, but where all the sewage goes into on a farm. And they'd been cleaning it out, but they just started and they took the lid off. Somehow the grandson fell in it. And the grandfather knew it was 10 feet deep and knew the grandson wouldn't make it. So the grandfather jumped in, yelled for help, jumped in, grabbed his grandson and pushed him up and held him up until somebody felt them take him out. But it was too late for him. He drowned in sewage. It was just horrible. Can I tell you the difference in what Jesus did for us and that? Remember what Jesus said? I could have called 10,000 angels. Actually said 84,000, 12 legions of angels to set me free. But every beating, every nail he took willingly and refused to call the angels to set him free. That is the difference. Because no one would die on purpose if they had the power to say, free me. But Jesus did, because he loves you. What is our response to his deliverance from our soul? If you've trusted Christ as Savior this morning, there was a day whenever you trusted Christ as Savior in a church service beside your bed, and Jesus said, Dave Pittman, come forth, never again to die. I'm set free. I'm his child. I'm going to be in heaven with him for all eternity. Oh, it's not the same as this resurrection, but I've been raised to a new life. Jesus said that. I've been set free. What do I offer back to the Lord? What is my response to the Lord for his deliverance to me? What is my response to the Lord when I've got these distresses and I say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. How do I respond? I want to give you two responses. Number one, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 57. Very quickly, Psalm 57. Notice verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. We're going to learn to trust it. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Here it is. Until these calamities be overpassed. Lord, I'm going to trust you until you figure out the delay is over. I'm going to trust you because I know you. I know you love me, and I'm going to trust you. That's the first response every one of us have to great turmoil and distress. Lord, would you help me? And the delay comes. Lord, would you help me? I'm going to trust you. It's okay, Lord. You take your time. I'm going to trust you until these calamities be overpassed. That's the first one. I'm going to trust you, Lord, no matter what. I have buried everybody in my family except for my son. My grandparents, I preached their funeral. My uncle preached his funeral. I've preached my brother's funeral, my dad's funeral. My mom, I couldn't preach her funeral. I couldn't preach my wife's funeral. But everyone is gone now, except for one uncle and Jeremy, his family. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'll trust you. It's hard to get to that point unless you know him. But there's one other response he wants other than trust. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to John chapter 12. Notice this, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. First response is trust. The second response is devotion. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You know what she did? Mary went and got her alabaster box, her greatest treasure. She brings it to Jesus and she breaks it. She could have cracked it and taken some of it out and saved it. But if you read Mark 14, she broke it. The idea is, I give you all of my heart, all of my devotion, for you're worthy. So when the Lord delivers us, when the Lord answers our prayers, we should have two responses. If he delays, I trust you. Until these calamities are overpassed. But Lord, I love you. Here's everything I have. Today, if you're facing something, are you trusting?